Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The chilling new original docuseries on Paramount Plus.
Why did he kill his family? The answer lies across the ocean in a woman named Sylvie.
She's a can model.
Where desire leads to deception.
I ended up spending $12,000 and $15,000 a day.
It was addictive.
I can't get you out.
And obsession leads to murder.
Who did this to your family?
You can't really maintain a fantasy forever.
Control Alt Desire. Now streaming on Paramount Plus.
Gary Parrish, welcome back to the CBS Sports Eye on College Basketball Podcast, where we sometimes discuss camel fighting, dodo birds, and leaky black. The Eye on College Basketball Podcast is presented by Jersey Mike's. Jersey Mike's, a sub above. Chip Patterson is here with me. He's at home in North Carolina. I'm in a hotel room in New York City. If you're watching on YouTube, smash the like button like you're Brandon Davies. You have consent. And if you haven't yet subscribed to the CBS Sports College Basketball YouTube channel, please do that while you're here. Okay, let's get into it. The 68-team bracket for the 2023 NCAA tournament, it was released Sunday night exclusively on CBS, America's most watched network. It's the network of stars. As always, there are four regions. As always, we're dedicating separate episodes of the Eye on College Basketball Podcast to all four regions. So keep an eye out for those. This episode is on the Midwest region, where Houston is the number one seed. Texas is the 2 seed. Xavier is the 3 seed. Indiana is the 4 seed. Worth noting, all four of those schools are dealing with notable injuries in some form. Houston's leading scorer, Marcus Sasser, didn't play in the AAC tournament title game against Memphis because of a strained groin. Texas' third leading scorer, Timmy Allen, he hasn't played since March 4th because of a lower leg injury. Xavier's third leading scorer, Zach Fremantle, is done for the season. Indiana's third leading scorer, Xavier Johnson, done for the season. Now, Xavier and Indiana, the schools, have been playing without Fremantle and Johnson for a while, so they've adjusted. But the Sasser and Allen situations at Houston and Texas are more day-to-day things. Chip Patterson, first question, is the Midwest region the region of injuries?
Oh, it is the infirmary. The upper right-hand corner can be called the infirmary region. And let's add Norshad Omier, like one of the best post defenders for Miami, who also twisted his ankle in the tournament loss to Duke. Now, it's an ankle injury. I don't know how much, you know, I should assign to that. But if he's limited or if he's not able to play, that's not good, especially going up against a dynamic player like Tucker DeVries, who from that four position for Drake. I mean, Miami could be one and done here if there's an impact here. So, yeah, this is a huge spot where you've got to take not only the information that you know about these injuries, but also your understanding of the depth of these teams and the way that the coaches have to adjust, because whoever makes it to the Sweet 16 and the Elite Eight in the Midwest Regional is going to have to do it having overcome some kind of adversity.
We talked to Jim Larrañaga, the Miami coach, on our March Madness Bracket Breakdown show on CBS Sports Network on Sunday night. And one of the questions he was asked is, what concerns you most heading into this first round game? And he said, one of my players left our most recent game with an injury. And, you know, he's day to day. We don't know how that's going to be by the time it's time for us to step on the court. So that is certainly Larrañaga's biggest concern as well, which means the top 5 seeds in this region are either have been missing notable players or are possibly going to miss notable players. Again, Xavier and Indiana sort of used to it at this point, but the Houston thing is big. The Texas thing is big. The Miami thing is big. If you go through your bracket in the Midwest region and you start looking at first round matchups, do you have one that stands out above others to you?
Texas A&M, Penn State. I mean, just an absolute banger of a 7-10 game. You know, obviously Penn State so hot right now and their style of play where they're going to shoot a bunch of threes and they're going to make you chase all their shooters. Texas A&M, you know, wants to be really solid in the paint. You would think that from a schematic standpoint that if Penn State gets hot, Texas A&M is in trouble. And I know that is not good news for Gary Parrish and his guarantee of multiple wins for Buzz Williams in this tournament. But, you know, if Texas A&M is going to try to, you know, defend the paint and make you shoot over them, Penn State's the kind of team that will more than happily shoot over them. And if they start dropping buckets, then it's going to get difficult. On the other hand, I mean, Texas A&M has been really, really good over the last 5 to 6 weeks. And if they are able to defend those Penn State shooters, they probably have a more talented roster than Penn State. So the way that that game plays out, you know, either team could go on and win against Texas in the second round. There's a couple spots in this bracket where the matchup is really intriguing, not just for the way the two teams line up against each other, but what it could mean for the winner and the opportunities that might lie ahead. So in this particular bracket, I would say Texas A&M, Penn State is one that stands out. And then the other one would be if it's Iowa State Pitt, I think I'm more interested than Iowa State, Mississippi State, because Iowa State, Mississippi State is the Spider-Man meme. It's just Iowa State's better at all of the like dirty defense, you know, get just enough offensively. But if it's Pitt, a grown man team that has a little bit more offensive ability than Mississippi State, things could get a little bit dicey for the Cyclones, who offensively over the last, like, I think of the last 7 or 8 games for Iowa State, four of them have been some of the worst performances from an offensive efficiency standpoint, like home against Oklahoma, road game against, I think it was West Virginia, could be wrong, but point being that Iowa State offensively can go really cold. Against Mississippi State, it won't matter. Against Pittsburgh, I think it could matter. And so the 7-10 and then 6-11, if it's Iowa State Pitt, gets really interesting just for, we know TJ Otzelberger can go on a deep run, or because of the offensive limitations, they could get bounced in the first round.
Rise and shine, football fans. This is Susanna Fuller from Morning Footy, a podcast part of the CBS Sports Galazzo Network covering the breadth of the global game. Join me, Nico Cantor, Charlie Davies, Alexis Guerreros, and guests every morning for the perfect blend of news, analysis, conversation, and exclusive interviews. If you love soccer, then look no further. We've got you covered for Europe's top 5 leagues, the W Gold Cup, the Champions League knockout stage, CONCACAF Nations League, NWSL, MLS, transfer news, and much more. Download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and anywhere podcasts are found. Subscribe to Morning Footy.
Should you ever set foot outside of the hotel, you will be shot.
Don't miss the new Showtime limited series based on the international bestseller.
For the last 4 years, I've been a prisoner.
Why are they keeping you here?
Starring Emmy Award winner Ewan McGregor.
This is the brave new world that you dreamt of.
Be very careful. You are still a prisoner here.
Everything in this new world comes at cost.
This is still my country.
A Gentleman in Moscow. Now streaming on Paramount Plus. Only with the Paramount Plus with Showtime plan.
And Iowa State, by the way, another team that lost a notable player in recent weeks. He was dismissed from the program, Caleb Grill, but still, that's somebody they used most of the season that isn't available now. That Mississippi State Pitt game is a great, or at least an interesting first four games. I'm looking forward to that. The winner plays itself into the Midwest region. I'm with you. Texas A&M Penn State is my favorite first round game in the Midwest, and one of my favorite first round games because it's two teams playing well heading into this event. Texas A&M is 10-2 in its past 12. Penn State is 8-2 in its past 10. Penn State in that stretch got wins over Indiana, Illinois, Maryland. A&M, this 10-2 record in the last 12 games, got wins over Alabama, Tennessee, Arkansas, Auburn. Texas A&M is among the teams, along with Florida Atlantic. And if you listen to Sunday night's bracket breakdown show of the Eye on College Basketball podcast, you've already heard me talk about this for 10 minutes, so I'll be quicker this time. But I think Texas A&M, Florida Atlantic are two underseeded teams. For our purposes in this region, we'll focus on the Aggies. They started 6-5 with losses to Wofford and Murray State, which is obviously terrible. You know, you should never be a power conference team 6-5 in your first 11. And taking two losses to sub 200 net teams is going to be a real bang on your resume. But since the loss to Wofford, that was December 20th. If you go to December 21st, the day after, and run the data at barttorvik.com, Texas A&M from December 21st through today, which is nearly 3 months, 3 month sample size, is the eighth best team in the country, according to barttorvik.com. So this team, I thought, should have been seeded closer to 4-5 range than a 7 seed. But either way, it is a team that I did pick to go deep into this bracket. And it's a team I've got getting past Penn State. But Jalen Pickett is terrific for the Nittany Lions, and they've been terrific down the stretch. And that's going to be a, I think, competitive first round game, regardless of who wins it. I do want to circle back to the most notable injury in this region, and that's because it's for the number one seed. It's the AAC Player of the Year. It's a legitimate NBA prospect in Marcus Sasser. For people who aren't familiar, in the semifinals of the AAC tournament, he collapsed on the court. It has been described as a groin injury, a strained groin. He did go through pregame stuff on Sunday before Houston played Memphis in the AAC title game, but he did not play. And Kelvin Sampson said afterwards he was never going to play in that game. I think most people understand it to be just an error on the side of caution type of thing. But how concerned, Chip, should Houston fans be about Marcus Sasser's injury?
Extremely concerned. Soft tissue injuries are very tough to figure out, and they can linger. And even worse than that, they could be re-aggravated. That if he gets the clear to go, he goes through warmups, he gets out there, and in the heat of competition, he makes a move to try to play winning basketball and re-aggravates that groin injury. Sometimes these soft tissue injuries, you are able to play through, you don't re-aggravate them. Sometimes, like in the football side of things, Ohio State wide receiver Jackson Smith and Jigba, one of the top wide receivers in the NFL draft class, only played about 2.5 games for a Buckeyes team dealing with a hamstring issue that lasted the entire season. So they should be extremely, extremely concerned, because being the number one seed in this region, eyeing a Final Four that is based in Houston, and given the success of this team, I mean, we had to fill out that CBSSports.com, who are your top seeds, and list them in order going into Selection Sunday. I made the argument for Houston. I just said, outside of a Sunday visit from Aaron McKee and Temple, what has this team done that has not been exquisite? Like everything in the list of results, everything in the computer says that this has been a team that has done everything you want it to do. Obviously, they had another loss to Memphis, and that apparently might have played a role in them not being the overall number one seed. So, yeah, for everything that they've accomplished over the last 3 years, for everything that they've accomplished this season, to not have Marcus Sasser for the games that will decide how the season ends, the potential of that is just heartbreaking for a Houston fan. So how concerned? Very. They're going to get through Northern Kentucky without needing Marcus Sasser to win. Iowa-Auburn? I don't know. Depends on which Iowa shows up and if that Iowa's even able to get past Auburn. Auburn's, you know, guard pressure defensively could very much require Marcus Sasser, but anything beyond the second round for Houston to hit its ceiling, they need Sasser in the lineup.
Would you be tempted, if you're Kelvin Sampson, even if Marcus Sasser is cleared to play on Thursday night, would you be tempted to hold him out of that game against Northern Kentucky and just give him a couple of more days without true basketball activities to make sure he's closer to 100% than he otherwise would be?
100%. That would be the plan. Like when I meet with my medical staff, I would say, let's, you know, have him, if he's clear, then let's practice with him. If he's cleared, let's let him go through the rhythms of the process. But it's a break glass in case of emergency situation, because I know that the team, even without Marcus Sasser, should be able to just go squeeze Northern Kentucky into submission.
You mentioned if Houston wins, it will play either Iowa or Auburn in Birmingham, Alabama, meaning they could be playing Auburn as a 9 seed in Birmingham, Alabama. I just fundamentally don't think – I know that doesn't violate any bracket principle, because if it did, it wouldn't be a part of the bracket. But I think that should be a bracketing principle, that your 1 seed shouldn't be at risk at playing a de facto road game in the second round. Playing Auburn in Birmingham puts Houston at a disadvantage. It bothers me. Does it bother you?
No. I think it's a wrinkle of the tournament. The same way that there's teams that aren't good who get good seeds and teams that are good that get bad seeds. I understand the frustration with the fairness of it, but it also is such a chaotic tournament that often when we look up at the end of it, things have mostly sorted themselves out. Then I consider them addition, not, you know, the people use the feature bug saying, I don't go that far, but I think it is yet another layer of imperfection in what is an imperfect single elimination tournament between college basketball teams and 40-minute games.
We have in some form at least mentioned Houston, Northern Kentucky, Iowa, Auburn, Miami, Drake, Iowa State against either Mississippi State, Pitt, the Texas A&M, Penn State. I want to ask about Indiana and Kent State. Rob Sinderoff is the Kent State coach. He's a former Indiana assistant. Do you give him and Kent State a realistic chance to maybe, just maybe, upset the Hoosiers in the round of 64?
GP, let me tell you about Cashing with the Flashes, because in my role for Sportsline on the Early Edge podcast, which you can catch on YouTube at 10 a.m. Every weekday, you know, I've been on Fridays. What does Friday night mean in college basketball? It means you got a lot of action, which means I've been capital D dialed on Cashing with the Flashes. And this region actually has some of the most profitable teams in the NCAA tournament. Of the 7 best teams in the field of 68, in terms of your against the spread record, 4 of them are here in the Midwest region. Pitt has the best against the spread winning percentage of anybody in the NCAA tournament field. Texas A&M is at 3. Kennesaw State is at 4. And Kent State is at 7. Kent State 20-11-1 against the spread. Their overall straight up margin of victory, 10.9 points per game. And they've been beating the spread by more than a possession, 2.4 points per game. Kent State plays terrific team defense. And while Trace Jackson Davis is going to be a problem, I think that they are so dialed into their principles that they're going to be able to create a scheme to limit what he's able to do. I think they can frustrate Jalen Hood-Schifino. I do give Kent State a chance to be able to go and pull an upset. And, you know, there's going to be so much chaos in the afternoon here in this Albany region. You start off with the St. Mary's VCU game. You follow that up with UConn-Iona, you know, Patino against UConn, all those things. That I just think that this second wave could be a little bit funky. We could have potential for 2 double-digit seeds to win in the same session. Here with Miami Drake, we already mentioned the Miami injury, and I think that Kent State is a really good team and definitely good enough to knock off Indiana.
Houston is the 1 seed in the Midwest region. Texas is the 2 seed in the Midwest region. Obviously, the story there is Rodney Terry. He has coached the Longhorns to a second place finish in the Big 12, coached them to a Big 12 tournament title. Is on some level coaching for his job, although most recent information suggests that Texas is leaning toward having a proper coaching search that leads them to hiring somebody other than Rodney Terry. But as people have said throughout these past few months, what if he goes to a Final Four? What if he goes to a national championship game? What if he wins it all, which Texas is clearly capable of doing? Should Rodney Terry's success in this tournament, or lack thereof, be directly tied to whether he is Texas's full-time head coach or not?
Yes, but it should be a line. you know, the conference tournament success should be a line, you know, should be tied to it. The regular season success should be tied to it. The fact that he's gotten a team where the buy-in gets used a lot, sometimes recklessly, sometimes wrongly. But think about just the way that Texas plays. They've got like an 8-9-man rotation. They share a lot. They've been able to really commit themselves on the defensive side of the ball. Like, I look at this Texas team, and it looks like a good team. And I have no choice but to give a lot of credit to Rodney Terry for being able to pull this group together and being able to have them playing at such a high level at the most important time of the season, the time when your entire season is going to be judged by how it finishes. So if Rodney Terry guides Texas to a Final Four, it is because of the work that he has already shown you. If Rodney Terry gets bounced by Texas A&M in the second round, fans are certainly going to be much more likely to move on. But I think as an administrator, it would be irresponsible not to at least say, you know, all of this evidence that we have already has to lead us to consider Rodney Terry as a coach. And if you want to do a national search, even if he makes a Final Four, I don't hate that either. But I do think that he has shown you with his work this season that he should be considered a candidate for the job.
Now streaming on Paramount Plus. Gather your besties.
We are very exclusive.
And get ready.
Mom, go make snacks.
For sure, Regina, yeah.
For the movie that hits like a bus. In a good way.
No one died.
Mean Girls. Rated PG-13. Now streaming on Paramount Plus.
New CBS Monday. NCIS is back.
We need all hands on deck.
So grab your gear.
NCIS!
And join our elite team.
What are the charges?
Murder.
New cases to be solved.
Double tap to the chest.
Same caliber as the murder weapon.
And new criminals to catch.
That's the bomb maker. Where's the bomb?
A new NCIS, Monday, 9, 8 central, on CBS and streaming on Paramount+.
I think he should definitely be considered a candidate for the job. I think where I'm perhaps in the minority here is that I think tying his candidacy to how far he goes in an often unpredictable single elimination tournament is a little wild. Now, let me be clear. If he goes to a Final Four, I think he's getting the job. If he wins a national championship, I think he's getting the job. I just think that at this point, as an administrator at Texas, it is your job to do what's best moving forward for the University of Texas. Not what's best in this moment, not what's best for you, your current players, but what's best going forward. And frankly, you should have a good idea about whether Rodney Terry is that or not by now. And so if you think he's the guy, if you go, man, Rodney Terry took this thing over under less than ideal circumstances, and every day of every week of every month, he has been impressive and showed us both in public and private ways that he is the best man to run this program moving forward. I think you should give him the job, even if he loses in the first round of the NCAA tournament. Now, if he loses in the first, I want to make sure I'm being clear here. If he loses in the first round of the NCAA tournament as a 2 seed, he ain't getting the job. He ain't getting the job. I'm just saying, if you believe that he's the right guy right now, I would hire him regardless of what happens in this NCAA tournament. Similarly, if I don't believe he's the right guy for the job long term, that he's not the best guy moving forward, that he is, and I'm not saying this, I'm merely playing these hypotheticals out. If you think he's done a nice job with a team that Chris Beard built and Chris Beard morphed into this thing, and Chris Beard prepared in the offseason, in the preseason, and early in the season, and yeah, he took the reins of that and did well, but like a lot of people could do well with this very talented, very experienced team, that doesn't mean he's the right guy to get us the next very talented, very experienced team. If you believe that, even if he wins a national championship, you should not hire him. Now, I know if he wins a national championship, he will get the job. But I just think tying your long-term plans to such a short-term thing, I've never really just understood it. On a different level, athletic departments do this all the time. They say, you're on the hot seat. They don't say it. They don't verbalize it, but this is where they're at. You're on the hot seat, and if you make the NCAA tournament, you can keep your job. But if you don't make the NCAA tournament, we got to find a new coach. And that could, as we found out with Rutgers or
Brad Brownell. If you don't make the NCAA tournament, you're going to be fired. It's like, well, I just beat NC State three times in a season. They're in the NCAA tournament. I'm not. But because of the loss to, was it South Carolina or those early season, like horrible losses, like now my job is going to be gone. This program that I've built is going to be taken away. I'm with you on that. Selection to the NCAA tournament for firing or not firing, I am not with that at all. But I love, as an administrator, the example that you get. Like if Rodney Terry goes to a Final Four, I've gotten a better firsthand example of what he can do with this program than giving it to, and I'm just reaching out to it because it's North Texas, but like Grant McCaslin, right? Like instead of giving it to an up and comer and saying, let's see what you can do with it, Rodney Terry, whose previous experience is all mid-major, I've seen what he can do with it. And that to me at least does feel like a built-in advantage that should be considered.
The Clemson thing is a perfect example of what I'm talking about. And we'll see what happens with Brad Brownell. But he's been there 13 years and was among the first four out for the NCAA tournament this season, right? So that more or less means if he'd have won, take one loss and flip it into a win, and Clemson's probably in the NCAA tournament. That's about where we're at. So you've had a guy for 13 years. You know who he is, what he is, if he's the right guy. If he's not, you should. That's your job. You're really going to tell me that if he'd have won one more game, you would keep him. But because he didn't, now you definitely can't keep him. Like I say the same thing about Brett Brunell that I would say about Rodney Terry. Do you think he's the right guy for the job? If so, give him the job. If you don't, I don't care what his accomplishments were or were not the season. And that's ultimately the decision that Texas is going to have to make. And you'll see this in a second, I've got Texas going out pretty early in this NCAA tournament, certainly earlier than the seeds suggest, at which point all of this will likely become a moot point. Texas will open up its job and express appreciation for Rodney Terry and then move in a different direction. But where it might get a little complicated for the administration, if they are in fact leaning toward not giving him the job, is if he marches this thing deep into the bracket all the way to the Final Four. And then the public sentiment to hire Rodney Terry is already there. You hear people like Dick Vitale saying it during the broadcast. Chris Walker.
Call it the Major League theory, like the storyline of Major League. She wants to sell the team, and so they want to stink, but they're winning in spite of it. It's like they want to hire somebody else, but Rodney Terry's just going to go in Major League this thing in Houston of all places. And then all of a sudden win himself the job.
Anyway, so the public sentiment's already there. It'll intensify the further Texas goes. And that'll be interesting to watch. But ultimately at this point, I would think somebody besides Rodney Terry is the coach at Texas next season. That's certainly what people in the industry believe in this moment. But of course, you know, we'll see what happens in this tournament. All right, before we get out of here, what's your Sweet 16 matchup? In the Midwest Regional, what's your Elite Eight and who's going to come out of it and represent that region in the Final Four?
Now, this was submitted to the great J. Darren Darst on Sunday evening, so this is not me just playing it up because I think you'll get a laugh out of it. But I've got Houston in one of the Kansas City-hosted Sweet 16 matchups going up against the very first university ever to be named after a hip-hop star. I've got Tucker DeVries getting on a heater. And again, I've got Kent State winning too. So it's like a 12-13 second round, gets a little bit crazy. But I liked watching. He's a 6'7", stretch four, wing type player. He's hit some big shots and big moments for Drake. His dad is the coach. So I've got Drake against Houston. I've got Houston winning that game. In the other matchup, did we not talk about Xavier at all outside of Fremantle? I've got Xavier and Texas, and I've got Texas beating Xavier and making it to the Elite Eight. And then I've got Houston and Texas playing in the Elite Eight, at which point I have Rodney Terry and the Longhorns going to the Final Four.
That'd be terrific. I wouldn't mind seeing that. Like, I've known Rodney since he was an assistant at Texas a million years ago. So I have enjoyed watching him do well. under these less than ideal circumstances. The problem, of course, when you're filling out a bracket is if you've been doing this long enough, you're going to have to eliminate some people you are friendly with at some point. So I hope nobody takes it personally, but I've got Texas A&M beating Texas in the second round of the NCAA tournament. I've got the Aggies going all the way to the Elite Eight. My Sweet 16 is Houston and Indiana and Xavier and Texas A&M. So yeah, just real quick on Xavier, like Sean Miller, if it goes down this way, getting Xavier to the Sweet 16 in year one, after losing one of his best players midseason, that's an incredible accomplishment. And it is why, despite all the controversy that surrounded the program at Arizona that Sean ran, there is no getting around the fact that he's one of the best coaches in college basketball. And, you know, Arizona's misfortune is perhaps a blessing for Xavier, because they were able to rehire a guy who has returned their program to a prominent place.
And isn't that a Jekyll Hyde team? Like Xavier, when you think about all of Xavier's performances, it's a Jekyll Hyde team. Like, they are capable of incredible things. They smashed Creighton. And in the words of the great Gary Parrish, they beat their brains in. And I also saw that team like lose to DePaul and Butler. Right. And I don't know, man. Xavier's a wild. Going out for a night with Xavier could end up in a lot of different ways.
And we all have friends like that. We all have friends like that. Not so much anymore. You weed them out the older you get. But we all, at one point, had friends like that where, boy, I don't know, this could be the best night of my life or the worst night of my life. We could end up at the best party ever or in jail. You don't really know how this one's going to go. So,
Xavier's been like Sean Miller either way.
Xavier's been a little all over the place. Still, I've got him in the Sweet 16. So, Houston, Indiana, Xavier, A&M. I've got Houston and Texas A&M playing in the Elite Eight, and then I've got Houston beating Texas A&M as a one seed advancing to the Final Four. Spoiler alert, I also have Houston winning the national championship. As I've said many times in many places in recent days, to win a national championship, these aren't rules, but like largely you look back at the history of national champions in men's basketball, what you're going to find is, if not all of these things, certainly most of these things. You need a great coach. You need great guards. You need non-freshmen who are meaningful players. And you need multiple NBA level guys. And Houston has all of that. Kelvin Sampson is obviously a great coach. Four of the top five scorers at Houston are non-freshmen. So they got experience and great coach. Jamal Shedd, Marcus Sasser, that's your backcourt. They've got great guards. And Jairus Walker is a projected top 10 pick. Marcus Sasser, in my mind, a projected first round draft pick. So they got multiple future NBA guys. I just think Houston is best equipped, more than any team in the country, to win six games and cut nets on that first Monday night in April. But the Marcus Sasser groin injury does complicate things. And so if we find out he's just never going to be the same the rest of the season, then I'd probably lean toward moving off of Houston to win the national championship. But going into this thing, I'm going to assume he's going to be good enough to go. And I've got Houston making the Final Four and then winning two more games once they get there. Well, that's a Midwest regional preview in the books. If you haven't caught the other ones yet, make sure to check them out. West Regional Preview, South Regional Preview, East Regional Preview. They'll all be there for you either right now or very soon in the Eye on College Basketball Twitter feed and on the YouTube channel. Shouts to Devin Downey. Shouts to Chester, South Carolina. Shouts to Huck. Shouts to Larnell. Thank you guys once again for listening, watching the Eye on College Basketball podcast. If you're not subscribed, go do that. Anywhere you subscribe to podcasts, Apple, Spotify. There's more of us than there are of them. That needs to be reflected in the comments over at Apple. If you're not subscribed to the YouTube channel, please do that. And we will talk to you again real soon. Till then, bye-bye.
New CBS Monday.
NCIS. Here's where we can see them.
NCIS and NCIS Hawaii return with all new cases.
Double tap to the chest, one to the head.
These guys are professionals.
All new criminals.
Violent Island got here.
Welcome to paradise.
And all new crimes to be solved.
If you're watching this, I've been arrested.
What are the charges?
Just one. Murder.
New NCIS and NCIS Hawaii, Monday, starting at 9, 8 central on CBS and streaming on Paramount+.